Hello, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome back, okay, to another Cinema Hoes episode.
Another one, yes. Live and in your ears.
Yeah, well, it is pre-recorded.
Yeah,
but... it's live in the moment as we're making this.
Spontaneous.
There are grins on our faces.
Yes, there are.
So excited to be back.
So excited to be back, especially now because we're both living in the same house, which is really exciting.
That was a gasp.
It was a gasp. She's fine. Everything's fine.
I can breathe.
Yes. Which is really cool. This is actually the first episode that we're recording in our own house together.
I've lived here for a good while. Yeah.
Santana was here over the summer. I went home over the summer for a little bit.
Yep.
But yeah, as you may have noticed, it's been a hot second.
Yep, trademark and pending.
Trademark pending over here at Cinema Hoes. That's what we like to say. It's been a hot second.
Yep. And nevertheless, we are here, and I put it on the script that we are very queer because it's true.
I don't know the reason.
She's like
for
shaking
this.
Her head, but like,
no, it's great.
Fact.
It is fact. It's great. We love it.
To explain our leave of absence, we have kind of been on our both like separate little journeys here and there since we got back.
Yeah. Well, for me, over the summer, I went home for a little bit, was working, and then when I came back, I took up a leadership position with the student org that I'm a part of. So that's been nuts. And then I also have a job, and then I also have an internship on top of the job. And the internship is very exciting because I intern for a marketing company.
Yeah.
Which means I get super cool perks. Like, I've brought home a lot of posters.
You have. And I recently, okay, as we're recording this, I recently put up our If Beale Street Could Talk poster, which I love. Very much.
Yes.
Very, very much.
Yes. Shout out, Barry Jenkins. Love.
Love you, we love you, sir.
But, so, I get a few cool perks. Posters are one. Free screenings are another. So, we are definitely going to be seeing some movies before they officially come out.
Yep.
Which is very exciting. So, that's so what grateful. That's what I've been up to. We've just been super busy, and it's
been...
I'm
very grateful that you're a part of this.
Yeah. Me too.
It's... you know, it's affected us all.
Yes. I get them into free things.
They enjoy it. In a positive way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully we can get you guys some giveaways, you know. Hopefully.
We're going to see. Postage.
I'm excited, okay?
Yes. We'll see what happens.
You know, well, maybe we'll put a poll out on Twitter or something, seeing if you guys will actually pay attention, not like five people,
okay,
being like, oh, of course I want this. Like, of course you want this. Everyone wants this.
All of our Twitter, the people who actually interact with us on Twitter is that video of that one guy who's like up on the rooftop playing the music.
Yeah, and there's like three people at the bottom.
Yeah.
Yep. I have recreated that video, actually, with my friends.
Oh.
In fact. Well, yeah. Anyways.
What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Well, I worked pretty much every day during the summer, like I always do.
Yay, capitalism.
Yeah, fun times. Yeah, I've just been working, just trying to make sure, you know, just in case of emergencies or, like, I get sick or, like, I, you know, something happens.
Yeah.
You know, just to make enough where if I do leave or if I do go on vacation or if we do go somewhere... you know, I just have enough in my pocket, in my bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I just have been working here and there around SF.
You've been seeing movies.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would have literally felt empty if I haven't seen a movie. But anyways, so to sidetrack it all.
Yeah.
We are going to be talking about the movies that we saw, you know, just catching up over the summer, stuff like that, and
we're gonna do top five favorite films that we saw this summer.
Yep,
because we did a little bit of a recap before leaving, and now we're in October, so it's a perfect time to do a summer recap episode. Am I right?
Because it's, I was gonna say it's gonna be May, but it's gonna be fall. I hate myself.
And without further ado, I'm Luna.
I am Santana.
And this is Cinema Hoes.
Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore? I'm falling. In all the good times I find myself longing for change. And in the bad times I fear myself. I'm off the deep end, watch as I dive in. I'll never meet the ground. Crash through the surface when they can't hurt us. We'll fall from the shallow now. In the shallow.
So, welcome back, everybody.
Yeah.
We are going to start off this wonderful segment mm-hmm. with a bop or flop as...
Well, right now it's top five bops.
Oh, I'm sorry. I
apologize. So all of the ones that we're listing first are just bops.
I don't know if you can hear this, but I'm rolling my eyes right now. Oh, my goodness. to start off with...
Yeah.
Our bop five favorite films of the summer.
Five. We're starting with five and working our way up to one.
Yep.
So
number five.
Yeah. For me, okay. So the movies I saw this summer, I'm just going to preface this, is that I still have not seen Eighth Grade and Won't You Be My Neighbor. If I had seen
Wait. Cue the eye roll.
Woo. I literally don't know why I haven't seen them. I just haven't had time. It's been crazy because they're only playing at the one indie theater in the city, and
you call yourself a cinema ho.
I know. I'm sorry, Bo Burnham. God. I'm sorry, Mr. Rogers. Please forgive me. But that's my preface. That's why they're not included in this list, because I still haven't seen them. Okay. Because I would have included them if I'd seen them. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway. My number five for the summer was Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Ooh.
Lots of people thought this movie was going to be terrible. I had lots of fun.
Who are all these people?
I don't know. I was reading things.
The straights.
But, you know, because it's one of those things. A lot of people were making fun of the title because it's like, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. Like, and oh, here God. Here we are.
Again.
But I had a lot of fun. All of the songs were well done. Lily James is gorgeous and is wonderful.
True.
And really is a young Meryl Streep. Like, I don't know how they did that, how they found her in real life. But they did. They did. Yeah. And it was just, it just made me really happy, and I just really thoroughly enjoyed it.
Aww.
And I mean, who doesn't love some ABBA songs?
That's true. Yeah. Even more ABBA.
Yeah.
Like, even what?
Who Mama thought Mia, that was? Even more ABBA.
Who thought that was possible?
Yeah.
Well, that's cute.
Yeah, so that's my number five.
Oh, okay. My number five is Sorry to Bother Hugh.
Woo!
Yep, I just, wow, yeah. Ever since watching it, it's not like I've looked at Oakland differently, but I just kind of appreciate it more as, like, for what it is, like, the city and the art form.
Yeah.
And the people... I love everyone in Oakland. I love every one of you.
I love it.
Love. But yeah, I really loved his take on Oakland, especially Boots Riley's take on Oakland, coming from Black Panther. You know, like it's two different takes of Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool. I really enjoyed that. And that's my number five.
Well,
because we did talk about it earlier.
We did, yeah.
So I'm like, you know, there's not much to really say.
Well, fun fact, my number four is Sorry to Bother You.
Oh,
that's my number four. Yeah. This is fun. These next few are going to be fun because we're just like alternating. But yeah, again, Sorry to Bother You. It's just such a batshit crazy film.
Yeah.
And I just think a lot of people, and there is some criticism about Detroit's character and just how she's portrayed, like,
yeah, in terms I did of, see that on Twitter,
like, an activist, but then mm-hmm. also, like, you know, being herself, like, as, like, a woman. And I don't want to get into it because it's a lot, which I agree. A lot of people are right to make criticism yeah. because,
you know. If you guys are, like, ever interested in it, just, like, there's plenty, I'm pretty sure there's at least, like, a couple articles about it yeah. or, you know, people on Twitter are yeah. always going on something.
Yeah.
So.
It's very interesting, and it is very valid criticism about yeah. her character and why it may seem a little bit ingenuine or may seem not fully developed. But regardless, I still totally love the movie. Armie Hammer is just playing himself, as I've said before.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just one of those movies, and it's one of those things where if people watch it, they're either going to really like it or really hate it. Yeah. Because of how intense and different it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really liked it. It's just really well done. Shot in yeah. 42 days on location in Oakland.
Love you.
Love you, Boots Riley. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my number four.
Number four. Alrighty. My number four is Black Klansman. Okay. I saw this twice.
Yeah.
The first time I saw this at the Alamo mm-hmm. Draft House
mm-hmm.
in SF, and I watched it by myself last minute because I saw it on my movie pass, and I was like, well, fuck yeah, I'm going to go.
Moment of silence for movie pass. Moment of silence. Moment has passed.
Bam, bam, bam. Yeah, so basically when I watched it, I saw a bunch of criticisms from it saying that it was definitely an eye-catching film and mm-hmm. just, it talks a lot about what's going on today and today's climate and, not to like spoil anything. I don't know.
It has been paying attention to
the, yeah, it's been, you know, in the news.
Yeah.
So it's not really like spoiling anything, mm-hmm. but, just thinking about it now, like mm-hmm. just kind of recapping, it was a lot. It's a lot to take in.
It's a lot.
So it's a lot to explain.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, if you're ever thinking about like, oh, maybe I should watch this, maybe I shouldn't, definitely bring your friends, like, your mama, your mama's mama, like, bring people to see this film because, yeah. just, like, this is happening today. Like, you yeah. really, like, even though it's set and it is a true story, like, from, what is it, 1970-something?
Yeah.
Yeah,
60s, 70s,
yeah. around there. It's still happening today, okay? So, even though you may think, like, oh, wherever you live, I'm sorry to tell you. I'm sorry to bother you. Like, this is a prevalent thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, wake also, up.
Kind of like an addendum to this is people seem to keep comparing Sorry to Bother You and Black Klansman.
I'm sorry, who are or those
not
people?
Comparing, but they always put them together when they're writing about films of the summer. They're like, oh, look at these two. They're kind of similar in themes
just
and whatnot.
Just black directors.
Yeah, and I'm like,
they rolling have my
very
eyes
different,
again.
Very different.
Yeah, and what do you call it? Mm-hmm. And the second time I saw this, it was Mr. Spike Lee,
yeah.
I got the chance to be literally, like, in breathing. Like, this man could have blew in my face. Like, like hot air. His hot air into my face.
Yeah.
Like, it was, oh my God. I had to, like, he is very cute.
He's adorable.
I don't know if that's the right adjective to describe him, but I just wanted to just give him a hug.
Yeah. That's another hashtag intern perk. There was a screening of Black Klansman at the Castro Theater that SF Film was putting on, and Spike Lee was there in person to introduce the film, do a little Q&A beforehand, which was really cool. He came out, and he was dressed in black and orange for San Francisco. It was super cool.
I know.
And he's just a very interesting person. He never really fully
so
answered all of the Q&A questions. He just kind of rambled and said his own thing, which I was totally fine with. But it was very fun. It was really, really cool. It was a really cool experience.
Yeah. We both really enjoyed it. So thank you, Mr. Spike Lee.
Yes. Moving on to number three. Okay, so my number three movie is, I don't know if this can technically be considered a summer movie, but I'm considering it a summer movie because it came out in September. I think it came out in September. I'm going to double check. But my number three movie of the summer is Searching.
We did see this together.
We did see this together, which was pretty cool. This, okay. You know,
I'm surprised it's your number three.
Because it was good. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say. But it's, oh man, I don't have words right now. There, you know, we're now in the age where people are making films about what's on your computer screen by using your computer screen.
Yeah.
And the only other film that we really have to kind of compare this to, quotes, is Unfriended.
Yeah, Unfriended and Unfriended Dark Web. I did see that on my birthday when I was like fucking 15 years old.
Yeah. But also I just looked it up. It came out August 31st, so I'm counting it as a summer movie. And it's just, it was very smart. It was really well done. The way that, I don't know, it's, instead of you're just looking at a computer screen, it, the camera zooms in on words, like, you have, like, the FaceTime app open up so you can actually see John Cho's face and whatnot. It's just very, very clever, and that's the reason why it's so high on my list. Just because I thought it was...
Top three of the summer.
Yeah, top three. It was just really, really well done.
It is underrated, though.
It is very...
I mean...
There was no buzz about, like, barely any buzz about it at all, which I was kind of upset about.
Here's this movie. I did see it at SF Film Festival when it came out. A lot of people really liked it then. And I just didn't really hear anything about it afterwards.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's still in theaters. If it is, go see it. It's really well done. It's not, people are like, oh, is it like a horror film? No, it's a thriller.
It's a thriller.
It's really well done. John Cho is incredible. I just think being able to act that well when you're being recorded, like, on a computer screen and, like, you're on the... Well, they probably didn't do it. They probably did it some other way. But I don't know. It was really good, really well done. The story is cohesive.
It's got a lot of turns. It's
got a lot of twists and turns, and it keeps you on your toes, which I really like because sometimes it's... Hard to do that.
Yeah, stuff like that can be really predictable, especially when you're watching a thriller, because it can go, like, only so many ways.
Yeah, definitely. So. But that is my number three.
Searching. Oh, wow, yeah. I want to know how they made that, too.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Behind the scenes.
My number three is Hereditary.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we...
Movie of the summer. Very summer movie.
Very summer movie. I had such a great time watching this. Shout out to Ryan Weaver, whom I love. We did have him on here. For those of you longtime listeners, I loved Hereditary. Like, I really, really loved it.
Yeah.
I feel like not as much as I should have, but that's on me for creating expectations. And, you know, sometimes I don't meet them, but that's totally fine. I really loved every performance in it. I just remember being in the theater when a certain part came up and the entire theater just was silent.
Yeah.
Like, you could literally hear everyone's breathing because it was so quiet. I loved it. And shout out to Alex Wolff for, like, just...
Oh my God,
yeah.
He did it.
Like... He just came out of nowhere and was like, I'm going to do a horror A24 film. Catch me outside. Like, what?
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. Very, very well done. I'll talk about my experience with it in a minute.
Oh.
Yeah. Moving on to number two. My number two is, we've already talked about it, Black Klansman.
Yes. I love to do the
Klansman. There's three Ks in it. You know, subliminal, obviously.
Subliminal messaging.
Again, I don't know what to say about it that hasn't already been said. It's just, and the first time I had seen it was at the Castro Theater with Spike Lee. So I didn't actually watch it in theaters over the summer, but it's still a summer movie. It came out over the summer, so I'm counting it in my list.
That's totally fine. That's valid.
And seeing it in a theater full of people, I think it was a full house. So that theater holds 1,100 people, 1,200 people.
Yeah.
Seeing it with that many people. Yeah, upstairs and downstairs. And just, it's so much, but in the best way, it's very overwhelming. Also, I don't know, I can't even, like, describe it. It was just so well done. John David Washington was phenomenal. Adam Driver was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You always kind of forget that Adam Driver can act because whenever I think
of Adam Driver can act?
Yeah, what? I just automatically think of Kylo Ren whenever I think of Adam Driver.
Yeah, because, I mean, the only reason why is because, like, we don't really see the other, like, Star Wars, like, actors really,
yeah.
Like, you know.
Doing things.
Than
except for Kelly Marie Tran. Kelly Marie Tran is booked.
She is.
She's booked and busy. Love you.
Roles.
Yeah. But, you know, I always forget that he is just an incredible actor. Yeah. And then he,
have
in this film.
Have you seen Logan Lucky?
I have seen Logan Lucky.
I really like
it. Even though that story was a little, but he and Daniel Craig did a great job.
It was kind of buck wild.
Yeah. Adam Driver playing a hick. What else can he do?
Oh my God.
But it's, you know, all the performance, Laura Harrier, like,
yeah.
All of them.
Oh, my God. I could literally go on her look for, like, a solid, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I loved her.
And, you know, it is a quote-unquote period piece, but Spike said in the Q&A beforehand, you know, I didn't want to make it just a period piece. It is very relevant. You know, they make very obvious comments about, they're like, oh, we'd never vote someone like David Duke into the White House. And everyone's like, ah.
Looks at the front of the camera okay. Like they're in the office.
Yeah. But, you know, it was just, it's one of those movies that I left the theater and I was like, I need to sit down and think about this for a good 3 hours. Like, yeah. I need to just reflect on it and think about it. So that is why it's my number two.
My number two is Mrs. Skate Kitchen.
Yes.
I
underrated
cannot stress enough how each and every one of you that is listening, whoever you are, needs to watch Skate Kitchen, okay? Like, I don't know how this just slipped under the radar. Like, I really don't. It's so, okay, the reason why I'm so just overwhelmed by it is because I really love the female portrayals, like, in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love the female story.
Mm-hmm.
I really love just, oh, my God, like, I'm getting overwhelmed right now. Like, I really have to, like, dry my eyes. Mm-hmm. I need a minute. I'm kidding. No, I'm literally being dramatic. But for real, though, the performances in it, I don't know the specific actors slash actresses, because I'm pretty sure the story behind it, I don't know if I saw it online or if I heard it in a podcast somewhere, they as in Skater Girls, were just in New York, and the director saw them skating, and she comes up to them, she's like, hey, how are y'all doing? And then they go, we're doing good, and then a discussion leads into that, and then, voila, Skate Kitchen becomes a thing, and then, yeah, and then somehow Jaden Smith is in all of this. I didn't even know he was in the film, and then I saw his face, and I was like, I'm sorry, hello, but yeah, anyways, sidetracked. It's just, like, an exploration of, like, teenagers now, and skaters now, like, the skate community in New York, and just, like, sexuality, and, like, how just fluid it is, and, yeah, just having good times as a youth.
Yeah.
In today's society.
It's on my list.
And individuality.
That's I have not seen it, but I really want to see it, and I think it might be coming back to the Castro Theater, so I'm going to try and catch it when it's there. Yeah.
I'm going to be with you.
Okay.
Because.
It's going
to
be great.
Also, shout out to Nico, the love of my life. Nico, I love you, sir. He was in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm
sorry.
I know little to nothing about Skate Kitchen other than the
basic plot synopsis. Yeah, sorry, I don't know why my words are like this. He's from the Bay Area, and I met him at Fogna, and he was in this movie. I didn't even know he was in this movie, but he was in this movie. So shout out to you, that's Mr. Miko, sir.
That's exciting. All right, moving on to the number one film, our number one bop. Our number one bop of the summer.
Bop of the top.
Okay, mine is... Ready? Drum roll. Hereditary! Woo! My voice is really hoarse right now. Sorry if it sounds... Sorry if it sounds different than normal and I can't do a lot of things. But Hereditary is definitely my number one movie of the summer. My favorite summer movie. It's such a summer movie.
So am I summer. Right? Very so summer.
It's just, okay. I'm also in a horror class right now. Class
Which
on
I'm
the
jealous
horror genre.
Of.
Yes. And we're specifically focusing on female filmmakers in horror, but we're also focusing on the different types of female characters in horror. So right now we're learning about the monstrous female.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the subtopics is generational powers of women. Which 100% plays into Hereditary. And I wish that Hereditary was...
I am your mother!
Yeah. I wish we were able to study it in depth in the class because just the way that it relates is unreal. But I saw Hereditary opening night by myself because no one else wanted to come with me.
I'm sorry, where was I?
Here, and I was... Down south.
Hate you.
In home.
Oh.
In my home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Trust me. And you're like, we were in the same place?
I'm
no.
Sorry.
We were not. But I saw it by myself, and I kept thinking about it for about a week straight. Not only the horror parts, but also all of the themes of, you know, inheritance and, like, what we inherit from our family and how we deal with grief. And yeah. Just, it's, also, it's another batshit crazy film, which this summer was full of batshit crazy films, but that's a good thing, because they were all really good, and this one just, I don't know, knocked it out of the park, because it starts as something, you're like, oh yeah, this could happen in real life, and then it goes into the supernatural, the weird stuff, and you're just, there's that one shot in the film, it's about... No, you know which one
she
I'm talking about.
She had to bow her head.
I had to bow my head. You know which one I'm talking about.
Was it the same one that I was talking about?
I don't know.
Was it the...
Oh, I like that one. No, it wasn't that one. But this one stuck with me because I was in the theater. It was a full theater, full house, okay. Opening night. And this one shot happened and everyone just screamed because it hits you right away. Spoilers for Hereditary if you haven't seen it yet. I'm just gonna say it. Stop listening now or skip ahead 15 seconds. But it's the shot of Charlie's head on the ground with, like, all the maggots crawling over it.
Oh. See, I was talking about the one where she... This is also a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
Where she, like, hit her head. That's the one I was talking about where everyone was like...
Yeah, because that's where you're... Because, you know, you think that something's going to happen to her because she's, like, you know, yeah. Peanut allergy or whatever, and then you're like, oh my god, her head yeah. flew clean
Which,
off.
Actually, now that I think about, mm-hmm. Are we done with the spoiler?
Yeah.
Okay. Spoiler done. I don't know if y'all know that, but whatever. what do you call it? Where was I... Oh, yeah. The one thing that I found, like, unrealistic about mm-hmm. Hereditary was that he brought his sister willingly to a party.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I'm like...
Because if my brother or my mom asked me to bring any one of my siblings to mm-hmm. a party, I would be like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No way. No way.
Yeah.
No.
That's the one thing that is, like, unrealistic that I have a problem with.
And he just was like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. I'm like, okay. Like, but that just meant that he really loved his sister, I guess. And then, you know, he was responsible for
her
death. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
I could talk about Hereditary
which,
all day.
Yeah, but. Which makes the grief even that more, like, oh, my
yeah.
God.
And the guilt. Lots of fun. But, yes, that is my number one of the summer.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I think that's a good pick.
Thank you.
My number Uno, you know, mm-hmm. Spanglish for all those bilingual people.
I really want to smack her. What's your number one? What's your number one?
Eighth grade. I cannot stress enough about this movie. Mm-hmm. Okay, I only saw it once, even though it is my number one. But the thing is, I found it way too relatable, okay? Even though I was in eighth grade, like, almost 4 or 5 years ago. 5, 6, I don't know. I don't remember.
Longer than that!
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, okay. 5 years ago.
Not 5 years ago. How Six. Old are you?
I am 20.
Okay, in eighth grade, you were 13.
I was like 14, 13.
8 years ago.
I'm sorry, wait. Where is your math? What?
Are you 20 now?
No way.
7 to 8 years
four,
ago.
Four plus eight is 20? You said eight. 14 oh plus eight God. Is 20.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God, that's six. Oh my God, okay. Clearly we're old.
I can't do that. Okay. We're not that old.
We're old.
I obviously
Anyways.
Did not pass.
Should I keep this in there? Because I will. I was in eighth grade mm-hmm. around six years ago, mm-hmm. okay? So that's a heck of a long time, mm-hmm. alrighty? And I've still related to this is beyond remarkable to me, mm-hmm. okay? Like, I for real needed a moment because I was like walking out of the theater like, this was me in eighth grade. Like, I hate this. Hating as in loving, okay, for those of you that don't understand lingo. But I really do appreciate everything that Bo Burnham, a Caucasian man, did for this movie because I related to it so hard. And I really just, I mean, this was his first, like, debut film. A lot of heart went into this, and,
he's just so talented. So is, Elsie Fisher. Elsie Fisher
yeah,
is really talented.
She's yeah, they're both, like, a dynamic duo.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
I loved everyone in this, and, Gucci is my new thing now.
She does do it all the time.
Yeah. Gucci. Okay.
So those are our top five bops of the summer. I do have some honorable mentions.
Oh, yeah. And we do have one flop of the summer.
Yeah, major
We
flop.
Were going to do flop, like, five, but clearly there's only one big flop of the yeah. summer yeah. that we both agreed on.
But my honorable mentions for bops are Ocean's 8, shout out to women.
Oh, Love yeah, women. That's true.
Love women. I just, it was a lot of fun to see a heist movie where just nothing goes wrong. I mean, things sort of went wrong, but, you know, everything works out in the end. Also, every one of those women is kisses hands like a chef.
Everyone.
Great. Wonderful. Incredibles 2, my other honorable mention. A very deserving sequel. It was awesome. Animation is beautiful. I'm also obsessed with the world building in the Incredibles movies. I think it's awesome.
It's very well done.
Retro-futuristic. Like,
thank you for making us wait literally more than a decade.
Yeah. You know.
A decade
Which
and a half.
Which is honestly some of my favorite parts of the marketing for the film is that they didn't market it towards young kids. They marketed it towards us. Towards our generation. Which
like,
is funny.
Like, hey, remember when you were like 2 when this came out? Well, guess what? You're not anymore.
And then my last honorable mention, people are going to laugh at me, but I will defend this. Is Teen Titans Go to the Movies. Okay.
Ow.
Listen. The cartoon Teen Titans Go obviously is made for children. Yes. It's stupid. It's not the original Teen Titans cartoon. We get it. We understand.
She's saying this like in my
We get
face.
It. However, Teen Titans Go is a fun movie. It's stupid in a good way. Self-aware. And it's just good. Like, it is well done. Obviously, like, things are predictable, which is fun, but it's, like, better than Justice League. Sorry. Probably one of the best DC films ever made. But it was just lots of fun, and I had tons of fun. I went to go see it opening night, hashtag no shame. And yeah, that was a little fun thing that I did. It was lots of fun, and I think it's a pretty freaking good movie, and I will defend it with my dying breath.
You did, yeah. You almost, like, threw a pillow at me.
I did not.
Just love this film so
I do.
Much.
It's fun.
You had a lot of, by pillow, I meant, like, fictional pillow. Yeah. Because she just has a lot of
It was just a fun film, and I think people were way too freaking harsh on it, because they're like, this is made for kids. Well, yeah, it's made for kids. What? Okay, great.
Yep.
Those are my honorable mentions.
My one honorable mention, mm-hmm. which we mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. is Mama Amia.
Very good.
We love her. We stan her. We do. 100%.
Yes.
Love of my life, yes. Mama Mia.
Yes.
End quote.
Okay. The biggest flop of the summer, in our opinion,
is Jurassic World.
Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
I saw this movie by myself. I used my movie pass. And I also used my movie pass. Moment of silence for movie pass. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about this film, because I'm just going to end up ranting about it for 20 minutes because it's so stupid.
She's getting so red.
Colin Trevorrow was the kid in high school who wrote film scripts, and people were too afraid to tell him what they actually thought. So he wrote terrible scripts in high school, and people were like, oh yeah, like that's really good. And then he just kept writing and no one stopped him. He's that one kid in your film class who thinks he's the shit, but he's really not.
That's...
This man almost directed a Star Wars episode. He almost wrote and directed a Star Wars episode.
Well, good thing he didn't.
Can you imagine? Okay. The Last Jedi has divided people enough, but can you imagine if this man who... writes
please.
And directs the Jurassic World.
Please don't get a heart attack over this.
Anyway, I don't know if he wrote this one or just directed it or whatever, but his involvement was here somehow. And then he spoke about how, because there's going to be a third one, he spoke about how he wants to make it so dinosaurs and humans coexist a la Flintstones. Like, that's like...
I want to jump into the Atlantic Ocean. Where are we? On the west coast, the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, it's just mind-boggling to me that people... I don't know. That, like...
We all live...
Yeah.
We live in a society.
Yeah. Oh, J.A. Bayona directed Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, maybe. But Colin Trevorrow was one of the writers.
Wow.
Yeah. It was bad. That's it. It was bad. I don't want to get into it because,
I'm afraid you already did.
I got into it a little bit. Just a little bit. I won't do it anymore.
You popped many blood vessels.
I did. It's just... Okay. That's it. That's all I want to say.
All I'm going to say is that I fell asleep because I was drunk during this. I had like a midnight premiere. I saw it with my friends and I passed down. They're like, hey, it's over. And I'm like, what?
You know what you missed? Nothing.
What did I miss?
You missed 2 seconds of Jeff Goldblum and that's it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Even from like the second that I got into the theater and when I woke up, it was... just trash.
Yeah, it was bad.
She was not good.
It was bad.
I'm sorry to say this. Because I really do love Jurassic Park. Like, as a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you guys have comfort movies, but that is my comfort movie whenever I get the chance.
Fun fact.
That and Jaws.
Yeah, we were in LA for Halloween Horror Nights. which we may do a separate episode on that just for fun, because that was a whole fun experience. But we were in our Airbnb, and Santana said, hey, can you put on something for me to fall asleep to? And I said, yes. And I started looking for, you know, like, calming movies. And she saw Jaws, and she said, no, put on Jaws. And I said, you're going to fall asleep to Jaws? She's like, yeah, it's one of my comfort movies.
Yeah, because it's literally, like, all dialogue. It's all dialogue. Yeah, and so I fall asleep.
That was just so weird to me. I was like, okay. So I put it on for 2 minutes,
we'll do an episode where we talk about comfort movies and, like, you know, things that make us fun. Calm.
Yeah. Okay, moving into a new segment. Super fun. We're going to try and start doing this. Let me restart. Moving into a new segment. We are going to try and start doing this at the end of each episode. We're going to do Cinema Hole of the Week, where we talk about someone in the film industry, whether it be one of our friends or someone actually famous.
Yeah.
makes a career. What's going on in their lives? So our cinema ho for this week is
Mr. Sean Baker. We love you, sir.
Yes.
He recently, and by recently I mean like maybe a week ago, almost to the day, he posted on Twitter that he is going to be taking time from social media to spend time on a new project that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, shout out to you, sir, for making another poster that I can put up on my wall. I just really love and appreciate everything that you do. And
we're really excited to see.
Shine on.
Yeah, we're really excited to see what project you're going to do, what you're going to make. Yeah.
And there we have it.
Yeah.
To just kind of add on, we have a bunch of cool stuff coming up pretty soon. We have more content, okay? We promise you. Possible giveaways in the near future.
Possible.
And ... a new member of our ho crew.
Yeah. We will be introducing her in an upcoming segment. She's wonderful. She's lovely. We won't give anything away so she can introduce herself properly to the world, which is very exciting. So, yeah.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. And thanks for sticking with us, you guys.
I'm Luna.
I am Santana.
And we will catch you on the flip side.